So we're pleased to have him ministering this morning. So I'm sure he's going to take us someplace the Spirit of God is taking him. So pray with me as we prepare ourselves. Father, we give
thank you, Lord. Yes.
For our brother Bob today.
Thank you, Lord,
as he brings forth your word, we pray that you truly would take us places we've never been before.
Yes.
Into a deeper realm with you. Lord, that we would not be satisfied with our feet being wet or even that water up to our knees, but Lord, we would walk out into the deep today. We'd be carried along by your Spirit.
Yes.
Lord, move through him and to us and encourage us. And Lord, empower us to put our feet to the road and our hand to the plow. Father, we ask that you just move now sovereignly in our midst. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. How's everybody doing this morning? All right. And thank God that we have a church here that loves the Word. That is the greatest thing, a church that really loves God and loves to hear His Word. And speaking of God's Word, do you know what the theme has been for this year that Pastor John started off with this year? Not everybody at once. Curb your enthusiasm. God's Word. God's Word, right? He took a little detour. Eddie, that was Eddie's fault. Eddie took us on a little trip we didn't want to go on to there, and Pastor Don, John kind of followed suit. But he started off explaining that he was going to minister most of the time, not all the time, on God's Word. And that's great, because there's nothing more important than knowing God's Word. Of course, it's more important if you love God. But to know God, you have to know His Word. We've all accepted Christ, I hope. Christ is called what? The living Word. There's nothing more important than knowing the Word of God. Pastor Don in all his classes always speaks about having a biblical worldview, meaning we as Christians should act and react to things and the world by what it says in the Word of God, right? That's the ultimate authority. Laws come and go. Things that were legal 20 years ago are illegal now, and it's going to be vice versa, right? God's Word is always the same, and that is our standard in what we go by. So how can you have a biblical worldview without knowing the Bible? You can't, right? And if not, you can be easily deceived. Nobody likes to be deceived, do they? No. I'm a simple person. Simple-minded most of the time. I like to keep things simple. So when we're going to talk about God's Word today, let's go back to some basics. First time God really laid out a set of laws, long, long time ago, even before I was born. His first set was what? The Ten Commandments, right? We can usually remember the first couple commandments. You know, love God, no idols. But from there, it kind of gets muddled. Is that adultery thing and, you know, making cookies or something? I'm not sure. You know, the rest kind of gets muddled in our minds. We might name three or four of them, but we might not name them in order. Is the order important? Absolutely. We serve a God of order. If he puts something number one, you know why? It's supposed to be number one. And what's the first thing? Love the Lord your God. If you have nothing else to do, no, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your everything, right? All of the rest hinge on that. If you take a look at the Ten Commandments, the first four, actually the way they're laid out is important. The first four is how we deal with God and God deals with us. The last six are how we deal with each other. So if we don't get the first four down, we're sure not going to get the last six down, are we? If we can't deal with God, we certainly can't deal with it. How can we deal with God? We know God loves us more than anything, sent his son to die for us, right? If we can't get along with him, how are you going to get along with that lady sitting next to you? You're not, right? Not you, sir. I'm just kidding. You're absolutely right that the word is important and it needs to be taken in context. And of course, the second most important thing was what? Have no idols. Nothing comes before God. Nothing. Not your husband, not your wife, not your kids, not your Cadillac, right? No other idols. What's the third one? We said first two are easy, right? We can get that. What's the third one? Don't answer, Donovan. Donovan will tell me in Greek. But so important that we need to get down in the order behind it. Every one of them are important, but we need to know the order. Thank goodness our pastor knows the order, right? Do I? And two, it's not like a Chinese menu that you get to pick and choose. You know, well, I'll obey this one. I won't obey that one. That one, I don't know, you know. It's one law broken down into 10 parts with a beginning and an end. The only thing that doesn't have an end is God. One day I'll have an end. Right, Pastor? Pastor John's so young, you'll preach at my funeral, won't you, brother? We're close. But I thought we would take a look at the third commandment today. If Exodus 20, verse 7. The law is given in a couple spots, but I love the way that is presented here in Exodus 20, verse 7. And this is the third commandment. You shall not misuse the name of your Lord God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. I like it there because it not only tells us what to do, but it also tells us what's going to happen if we don't do it. What's it say? For the Lord, when I'm guiltless. So this is pretty serious, isn't it? You're going to be held guilty if you don't do this. Some versions use the word blasphemy, which is like a $3 Greek word that maybe Donovan uses. But in the NIV it says, what? Misuse, right? Do not misuse. You could actually put a couple words in there, even misrepresent. Because usually when we read it that way, especially with the versions where it says blasphemy, the first thing, just cursing. If we go out and curse words, and you know, that's all it's talking about. Absolutely not. Of course, that is covered. But what it's talking about, a better word, is misrepresenting God. Okay? The only ones that have to worry about that is us. Sometimes we get all mad about what somebody in the world, a heathen, is doing, right? Saying. I remember I was, just a fast story, I was working with a guy back when I used to work. We were inspecting a car. I was sitting in one side, he's in the other, we're inspecting the car. This guy jumps in the back seat, and this was, supposedly the guy in the seat with me was saved and went to another denominational church, so he always wanted to team with me. This guy jumps in the back, starts, hey, blah, 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 just every third word out of his mouth, a cuss word, right? The guy sitting next to me just goes nuts. Get out of here. You're going to hell. You're not taking me with you. Go on. Get out of here. And when he left, he looked at me. I took care of that, didn't I? Said, yep. You got him saved today, didn't you? What do you mean? All you did was run him off. What was he doing wrong? Well, you heard him cussing. Is he saved? No. What is he? He's just a heathen. What was he acting like? A heathen. What are you? Were you acting like a Christian when you threw him out because he used a couple curse words? We are the one that this is written to, God's people. We are not to misuse his name. And what that means is misrepresent it, is the best way to look at it. We can all sit here and say, well, I don't curse. That's only the beginning. Actually, what it's talking about is two different things. We can misuse or blaspheme God, and it's usually broken down. I'm going to break it down today into two different parts. Our words and our action. Is one worse than another? No. both blaspheming God. We can. And that's how we do it. If we claim to be Christians but don't act that out except in church, we blaspheme God. We blaspheme God's name to the unsaved who are watching what we say and do. We claim to be Christians but don't act it out except in church. Sometimes we don't even do that, do we? Sometimes we don't even act like a Christian in church, let alone out in the world. How many of us sitting here have told people that we work with, people that we've met, that we're Christians? So right off, you're telling them, I'm the example. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm trying to be Christ-like. Then what comes out of your mouth? What do you do? Turn with me, if you would, to... We'll take a look at first the mouth, the tongue, right? The lips. All three of those are used to describe. Believe me, my mouth has gotten me in so much trouble over the years. I can show you scars where my mouth has got me in trouble, right? Thank you, honey. What? Pastor Don's up there saying amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, please, to James 3, starting at verse 1. This is called Mission Impossible, Taming the Tongue. Not many of you should become teachers. See, I didn't show you that, Ken, before I asked you to teach some classes, right? It's too late to back out now, but I'm going to read it to you, okay? How many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers? Because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. In other words, what I'm saying is I'm in a world of trouble. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. If you can keep this going, the rest of you will probably follow suit. And it gives us an example. We put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us so we can turn the whole animal. You ever see a bit? It's like 6-8 inches. But you can move like a 4,000-pound horse with it. Your mouth guides you. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large, are driven by strong winds, they are steered or directed by just a very small rudder. What percentage of that boat is the rudder? I looked it up. Most occasions it can be less than 5%. But think of the damage a rudderless ship could do. Consider that a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. Well, he's speaking good about it, isn't he? It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course for one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. God and the Holy Spirit's the only one that can tame that tongue. We have to turn it over to Him. With the same tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praises and cursing. Do we know people like that? My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Goodness and evil aren't going to come out together. Salt water and fresh water don't run together. Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a spring produce fresh water. Why is what we say so important? Again. Matthew 15:18. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. It don't take you long. Sometimes somebody doesn't even have to open their mouth, but usually about 5 minutes sitting down talking with somebody, you know where they're coming from, whether they're saved, what their thoughts are, right? Why? Because of what they're saying. What they're saying is not what they're doing. No, what they're saying is what they're doing. What's in the heart comes out through the mouth. I love when somebody says, "Oop, I slipped." No, you didn't slip. Slip means you made a mistake. You just didn't mean to say what was in there. Do we all do that? Of course, to a degree. But what we're saying here is you need to judge what you're saying by what's inside of it. When something comes out that you don't like, stop and think, wow, where did that come from? Was that inside me? I need to do a little housekeeping. Pull out the old vacuum cleaner. Matthew 24:34. Here's Jesus. Jesus of love. Jesus that loves everybody. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Listen to yourself, and you don't have to be a heart surgeon. You can see what's in there. Luke 6:45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Then real fast to Romans 10:10. Romans 10:10. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth you profess your faith and show your salvation. What are we showing when we talk to people? What about that brother who was sitting in the front seat there? Just wanted to get rid of this guy so we could sit and be good Christians together. What's a good Christian? A good Christian should be out filling that car up, shouldn't it? What are we supposed to do? Go out and reproduce. Other Christians, right? We can't do that usually without the mouth. It might not start there, but it's going to come to that point. The Word of God that Pastor John has been talking about is described as this in Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We've all heard that one many times, haven't we? But do you know your mouth can do the same thing? But just for the different reason. Psalm 64:3. They sharpen their tongues like swords and aim cruel words like deadly arrows. Right? Psalm 57:4, I am in the midst of the lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts. Men whose teeth are spears and arrows and whose tongues are sharp swords. Psalm 52:2, you who practice deceit, your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor. Just like God's word can build up. Cut out what's wrong. Our words can do just as much damage. Because it's not supposed to be our words. It's supposed to be God's words, right? Your words do hold importance in what you say. If your kids grow up, I thought I was 12 years old. I figured out my name wasn't Big Dummy. My dad called me. Yo, Big Dummy. But in a loving way, really. But that was just like a nickname. You Big Dummy. So did I grow up thinking I was a dummy? Yeah, I really did. For a while, I figure out I'm real smart. Not as smart as Donovan. But our words have bearing. Our words can cut. Our words can hurt. or if we use God's word, can do just the opposite, build people up. Now, what do we want to do? Cut people down or build people up? That sword is cutting the bad out. You ever trim a piece of meat before we put it on the barbecue? I'm getting hungry, Eddie. Before we put it on the barbecue, we trim the fat off, the part we don't want, right? That's what God's word does. We need to be careful. Our words do the same thing, not cut down, not hurt. Amen? If people see us doing that, what kind of a message does that send? We've just got through telling them we're Christians. I'm representing Christ. So that must mean what Christ does, right? Is that the taste you want to leave in someone's mouth? I don't think so. So we need to be very careful. I don't know who said it, but he was a very smart person. Think before you speak, right? Right, Sammy? Absolutely. I need to do more of that, right? Absolutely. We all do. I've said a lot of things that I really shouldn't have said. If I'd have stopped and thought, I wouldn't have said it. But you can't take it back, can you? Once it comes out, it's out there forever, like something on, what is that, Facebook or whatever, right? Once it goes out in the big stratosphere of the internet, it's always out there. Same way when you throw those words out there, you can't take it back. So we need to be really careful about this. Amen? All right, because it blasphemies God. We don't want to do that. Because we're going to have to answer for everything that comes out of our mouth, is what it's saying up there, isn't it? Every word you have spoken, you're going to have to give an answer to. All right? Now let's take a look at the second part. I said we blaspheme God in two different ways, with our mouth and with our deeds or actions. Okay, we just talked about the mouth. Now let's take a look at our actions. Could you have that slide? All right. Where's Pastor Don? Somebody get Pastor Don. Show him how high tech I've got here. I feel good. Usually it's me and my Bible with notes on the back of an old postcard or something, you know, letter. Our actions sometimes even speak louder than our words. We don't have to open up our mouths for people to judge us. The minute you tell them you're a Christian, they're looking at you. To build you up? No, to tear you down. Why? Because simple, it's easy for them to, it makes them feel good to see us do something wrong, because then they can justify their sin. Yeah, I'm a sinner, but look at that guy. He's supposed to be a Christian. He's doing the same thing. It just makes them feel better. Well, I don't want heathens to feel better. I want them to feel condemned. I want them to see that they need a Savior. And you can't do that by being the same as them, can we? All right, here's some different areas. First, maintain a godly testimony. Your testimony isn't just what comes out of your mouth. Right, Carol?
That's right.
Okay. She has no idea what I see. In how you handle your responsibilities. Let's take a look at this first. How do you handle your responsibilities? Anybody here doesn't have any responsibilities? As old and lazy and retired as I am, I have responsibilities. You're going to have responsibilities till the day you die. You can either take care of them in a godly manner or run from them, but they'll be right behind you. The longer you don't take your responsibilities, the bigger and meaner they get, like a hungry grizzly. But taking care of your responsibilities has to be done, of course, again, in a godly manner, a godly way, to give a godly example for people. First, church. I thought you were the only one that had responsibilities in church. You mean we have to do something? News to me. In church. You know, you're not here just to fill up a pew. You're not here just to be fed. You're not here just to learn. You're part of this body. You're part of this church. You have a responsibility, as much as the pastor does, on everything that goes on, the upkeep of the building. We all, sending out missionaries. Every day, or every Sunday, we take up a collection for that, right? You're a part of that, right? Pastor Don Assistant pastor, you look, he goes around picking up papers off the floor like he was a garbage man. Because why? He takes responsibility for this place. We should all do the same thing, right? If you can't take responsibility in church, don't even read the rest of the list. If you can't act right in church, don't think you're going to do it anywhere else, right? Don't fool yourself. Next thing is our job. I throw that out there because it's the biggest chunk. Churches maybe, if we went to every meeting, might be 6 hours in a week. 8 at the most. If you went to every meeting, they all hit it 1 week, right? It's not that much time. But that second one, our jobs, we're there 8 hours, right? Okay, let's back up 1 second. What's our responsibilities? Number one, have one, or some means of getting money, right? But it's a responsibility that shows how we handle things, right? Do we jump from job to job, menial job to menial job, because we just get mad at whoever we're working for? I'll just go to the Burger King next door or something and work, right? Third one, with our family, we have a responsibility, men and women, of taking care of your family. Is that correct? We were having a little discussion this morning on love and honor, which is better. Somebody could say, I love their family, but won't work and provide for them. Is that godly? Well, I love them. I'd do anything for them, except maybe work and support them. Is that how we are to act? No. God gave us that family. Your kids, your wife, your husband, God gave them to you. It's a responsibility and a gift from God to take care of it in a godly manner. Amen? Amen. Godly manner. Take care of your wife. Help her to her seat. With our house and car. It sounds silly, but people see us out. They see your house and your car, right? Don't leave it in complete disrepair. You don't have to live in the Taj Mahal to go out and sweep. I remember the old neighborhood in Detroit. Eddie, I think you could remember. Yeah, as old as you are, you remember this. They used to go out and sweep the alleys. You remember that? Why? Because you're taking a bit of pride in what God has given you. Right? I'm proud of this place. God, give it to me. Sir, somebody might have one bigger or prettier, but this one's mine, and God, give it to me, and I'm going to do everything I can to take care of it in a way he would have me do it. Same way with your car. Right now, I'm having a heck of it. I've wore my seats out with working on my house, taking all kind of... I got one that the seats lay down. I use it as a station wagon, a truck. I wore the seats out cleaning the thing. Try to keep it clean. Next road down's a dirt road. Half my driveway's gravel, so I can get it cleaned, and halfway out, it's dirty again. But it's the idea that we take responsibility for the things that God has given us. With our clothes, see how pretty I look. Do I look pretty careful? No, the clothes. I know I am, but I'm talking about the clothes. Oh, okay. Thank you. My wife does it. Yes, thanks, Sharon. See, I used to think I had no taste, but I've discovered I just have bad taste. But by that one, what I mean, simply dress appropriately. And appropriately, I mean for what you're going to. If you're going to meet with some friends to go out bowling, you might want to witness to them. Well, of course, I would wear a tuxedo and a bow tie. I look like Farragamo or whatever that guy, you know, always wears the bow ties. Yeah, whoever he is. Would I do that? Should we do that? No, you just stick out and look ridiculous. Right? But we have to remember, dress for the right occasion. When you're coming to church, pretend you're coming to church. Dress appropriately, right? Church and the beach are two different places. Okay? Hygiene. You know, it seems like common sense, but, you know, I have met Christians that, oh my gosh, they're homeless looking. They are. They're terrible. Guy come up, I was trying to give him some money. He's giving me a track. Does that represent God well? No. You don't have to put on airs, but you can take a bath. You can't clean your clothes. I love the story Pastor Don tells of being in Jamaica. The only thing the guy had to wear to church was a work shirt with another guy's name on it that he'd gotten used or somebody gave him to him. But every day his wife would wash that before church, and he would press it, wouldn't he? He'd come to church with pride, right? It's not, you don't have to have Calvin Klein or something, but put pride. Take responsibility for what God has given you. That's your testimony. All right, go to the next slide, please. Slide. Am I dating myself? Next slide. Scroll, yeah, I should. Ooh, I like this one. Whoop. Was that a sign? Thank you. Maintain a godly testimony in how you handle your everyday affairs. Honestly, that's probably one of the most important. How we interact every day. We're only here, like I said, maybe 6 hours. We're out in the world the rest of the time, right? Dealing with people, supposedly being an example. How do we handle our affairs in church? You think it was coincidence church was first both times? No, if you can't handle your affairs properly in church, you sure ain't going to handle it out in the world, right? In here, everybody loves you and cares for you, and you still have problems? You ain't going to make it out there, right? How do you handle yourself in church? In a biblical way? Do we treat each other the way we're supposed to? Do we have to agree all the time? No. But there is a certain amount of respect and decorum that's expected. Right? There's a rules of authority in a church that have to be kept up. And it's all for our good. If not, we're lawless. And what are we talking about here? God's law. On the job. Oh, boy. I think Eddie can... We've seen some guys that claim to be Christians, but at work, they should be the poster boy for heathenism. Yeah, well, I'm a deacon in my church. Pass that joint. Yeah, Sunday. I'm not kidding you. I have seen that. A deacon in a church was selling those little bottles of whiskey out of his locker. You've heard of separation of church and state? They believe in separating church from all those things. It's okay in church, but what you do down there, don't worry. God loves you. He knows your heart. But we're on the job more than we're at church. That's a missionary field. When God puts you someplace, you have a job, God gave it to you. You didn't get it on your looks. I'm sorry. I hate to tell you. Even you, Nancy, you know, your eye doctor had to wear glasses. I'm sorry. You're there because you minister to people you meet all the time. Everybody does or should, right? Even if you don't minister 100% of the time, even if you don't minister any of the time, minister with action. Let them see that you do what you say you do. Out shopping. Boy, I drive a couple of my grandkids twice a week to school real early. So I always tell the wife, I'll do our shopping. Because there's nobody in the store at 7 o'clock in the morning except for rude old people like me. Women fighting over kumquats and grapefruit. You say hello to somebody. What's wrong with him? You ever seen the stores when they open them up like at, what's that, Black Friday or Christmas, the fights and stuff? I mean, you know, they were probably in church the day before that. When driving or dining out. Oh, this is a good one. I have never seen, I think it was maybe back in the summer, we met a family that's Christian, they say. Some of you even know them here. And we were out at a restaurant, and they happened to walk in, sit at a table across from us. Well, I was ashamed. He's trying to minister to that lady, He was telling me how they have been coming in, and he's ministering to this one waitress. But then he's hollering at other ones, snapping his fingers. Probably left a dollar tip. I don't know why she's not listening to him. Actually, we got the lady and apologized to her for the way that they acted. When you're out doing anything, you're representing God. When somebody is serving you dinner, be thankful. Anybody that wants to feed me, I love you. Okay, I'll be nice to you. Feed me. While driving. Need I say anything more? All of you have been on the highways, right? Need I say any more? I have seen cars in front of me that whipped around because I was doing the speed limit and kind of waved at me in a peculiar way. Out their back windows, I looked, the car's going there, and it had like Christian bumper stickers. Boy, that's great. I would love to catch that guy and say, what do I need to be saved? Just like you. Everything we do, everywhere we go, we represent Christ. You cannot represent Christ unless you know what he wants. And we have a handbook. It's called the Bible. It's how to act socially with each other and even those that aren't saved. There's rules, right? Godly rules. What God called us to do is to be a salt and a light to this world. If you don't have a light or you ain't got no salt, what are you going to do? Get that light turned on, let somebody pour some salt on you. In Romans chapter 2, 23 and 24, I'm going to end here. As I'm ending here, would you, a couple more verses, could I have the prayer team come up, please? Romans chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? Right? Well, I only break little laws. Cheat on my taxes, speed limits, you know, just little laws. That's okay, right? Is it up to us to pick laws? It says what? Obey the laws. As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles or the heathens because of you. By saying you're a law-abiding, godly Christian citizen and then break the law in front of a heathen, what do you expect them to think? You're blaspheming God. And what did the word say? He will deal with that. You will have to answer for that. You know, sometimes it's easier to be good than it is to be bad. I had to go out of my way to be mean. Oh, I was good at it. But it was so often it would have been easier just to do what's right than spin fairy tales and lies, cheat and steal. Romans 2, same verse, but let's jump down. Romans 2, but let's jump down to verse 27 and 28. The one who is not circumcised physically and yet obeys the law will condemn you who, even though you have the written code and circumcision, are a lawbreaker. Do they condemn us? Sometimes deservedly so. Why would I want to be a Christian? At least I'm honest. I'm no good and do rotten things. They're just pretending. A person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. It's our heart that's been circumcised now, and that's supposed to show. Remember what we said, what's in the heart is what comes out of your mouth. And as God has touched your heart and changed you, we should be a witness by everything we say and everything we do. I'll end with this. Keep your words and actions correct by keeping your heart correct. Amen? Let's close. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that we are not left in the dark, that you have given us a guidebook, a light, Father God, on how to act, Lord. All we need to do is read it and do it, Father God. But sometimes we can't even do that without your strength, Father God. Father, I pray you just put that yearning in our heart to know you better by knowing your word, Father God. And give us the strength to walk that word out with word and deed, Father. Only through your strength, Lord, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Anyone needs prayer? The prayer team is up here.
The King above all.